celebrating 15 years. The Imaginative Film and Media Arts Festival, October 22nd to 26th in downtown Toronto, celebrates Indigenous artistic excellence and perspectives with over 120 films, 4 exhibitions, stunning interactive work, and special 15th anniversary program. Early bird passes are now on sale at imaginative.org. In person at the Tiff Bell Lightbox or by phone at 1-888-599-8433. Single tickets go on sale October 1st, and join us for our kickoff screening of the smash musical hit from Australia, The Sapphires, on October 1st at the Tiff Bell Lightbox at 7 p.m. Visit imaginative.org for all our programming and download the free Imaginative app. The Imaginative Film and Media Arts Festival. Original. Indigenous.
Do you find early mornings a drag? Is your morning coffee fix just not enough? Then it's time to get up to get down. Check out Moving in the Right Direction Radio every Thursday morning between 6 and 9 a.m. Join thousands gathered around the radio. Your programmer, host, and DJ, David James, will deliver the finest in underground electronic music and beyond. Moving in the Right Direction will bring you guest DJ sets from local heroes and the international jet set, along with interviews with both local and international producers. So tune in and move in the right direction.
The new Sound of Your City membership drive begins Monday, October the 20th. But if you donate right now or before midnight Sunday, October the 19th, you will be eligible to win one of our early bird prizes, which include a Samsung smart camera. So please go to CIUT.FM and click the donate button now. You can make your donation by using your credit card through PayPal, even if you do not have a PayPal account. Donate before midnight Sunday, October the 19th, and not only will you be entered into the early bird draw, but our grand prize draw as well. So please don't hesitate. Donate now at CIUT.FM.
Did you know there are now 8 different ways in which you can listen to your favorite programs on CIUT? From Barrie to Buffalo, Kitchener to Coburg, you can pick us up on 89.5 FM. We also stream online at www.ciut.fm, on Rogers Digital Cable, Channel 946, Channel 970 on Bell 5 TV, Star Choice Satellite offers CIUT on Channel 826, and you can pick us up on the TuneIn Radio app and under College and Campus Radio on iTunes. Finally, you can listen or download CIUT program archives at CIUT.fm. CIUT 89.5 FM, delivering the new sound of your city everywhere.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Welcome to Evidence here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Ted Fox.
And I'm Nicole Hamilton.
And we are the hosts of Evidence, the dance coverage show, which I should mention right at the top of the show is having a fundraiser next week.
That's right.
And right now we need your donations in advance, or, hey, it's needed to support CIUT and, of course, keeping us on air and Evidence and all the other shows on Evidence.
That's right.
So what you should do is go to CIUT.fm and go and get the form there and donate. And, of course, Nicole, make sure you say Evidence is your favorite show.
That's
because
right.
Because everybody watches it, listens
to it. Of course.
It.
Right. We want all of our listeners to make sure that when you are indeed donating, please don't forget to note that we are your favorite show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the show has been on for 14 some odd years. And
I didn't believe that, for odd years.
So, you know, we've really made a great attempt to ensure that we're covering a lot of great dance news. And also made a great effort to bring a lot of artists into the studio to share what they have been doing. So get on the line, get on the phone, start donating, and let's keep this radio show on the air.
And CIUT, of course.
And CIUT.
As well. Right. Now, this show, we've got Baroque dancers from the Opera Atelier production of Elsina. And then we have film director Shane Belcourt on a film he made on Santee Smith, which is going to be showing in the Bell Lightbox on October 23rd. But first off, we have Claude Guimet, and he is a playwright, and he is here to talk about Bouchard Dance Presentation, which will be taking place at Harborfront Center. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Now, let's get a sense of you first as a playwright. What's your background and... What sort of plays have you done?
Well, the production is a collaboration with Bouchard Dance and Le Théâtre La Tangente, which I'm one of the founders of. Théâtre La Tangente is a French professional company that has their mandate is to create original work. So since 1997, we've been creating original work in French in Toronto. And most of the plays that we've created are plays that I've written.
Mm-hmm. So, and what sort of plays do you write? Do you take historical figures like you are in this? Or
No, it's always, though, sort of a social comment. It's, for example, I did a show in 2005, which was called Requiem pour un Trompettiste, but was a comment really on the Walkerton water scandal.
Mm-hmm.
But it was set in the 50s in a small town, but a lot of the dialogue was taken straight out of the papers and Mike Harris's testimony and that kind of stuff.
Right. And how did you get into this work?
Playwriting?
Yes, indeed.
I've been freelance theater film person since for 32 years now. So my first job was at the National Arts Center in Ottawa as a props maker. But I did my university. I wanted to be a director, so you couldn't come out of University of Ottawa and suddenly get paid as a director. So I got a job in the props room, which was actually probably part of the best education I've ever had, is working in such a large venue. And this is the Arts Center when it was more like Stratford, or actually twice as big as Stratford, because there was a French and an English company. Mm-hmm. So we were constantly doing really big shows.
How young were you when you decided you became? What spurred you to become one?
Well, I'm not that young now. So
well, way back so when.
Way back when. Well, when I found out the University of Ottawa had a theater department, and I'd done theater in high school.
it was just a way
to go, and the National Arts Center was basically across the canal from the university, and so one thing led to another.
And what kind of programs, if we now kind of center in on your company that you have now, you've founded, you've taken the time to ensure that this is developed, what type of programs can individuals expect when they come through your doors?
Like I said, it's always so, it's not, I don't say we're not an activist company, but like I said, the themes are always sort of socially related. The play we're working on right now, L'Implorate, that we're presenting this week, we created in 2011. Since then, in 2013, we've started a thing called AmericanDream.ca, which is a play. It's a production, it's a theatrical production, but it's really a comment on what's going on around us. And part of that story is based on a little trip I made in 2011 to Afghanistan when I was working on a documentary film for the National Film Board. So there's always a comment in there. Because going to Afghanistan in the middle of a war has a tendency of shaping some thoughts.
Right. And for the artists that are listening in right now, there are, you know, young dancers out there, young up-and-coming playwrights, young actors. Do you provide any type of outreach programs, educational programs?
We do. Well, we're based, not officially, but sort of, we do all our creative work out of Glendon College. Glendon College has a really nice black box theater where we sometimes spend good chunks of a summer. We'll spend two months in a summer working on a new production. And we always have interaction with the students, and students often find jobs on our productions. The L'Implorate that we're presenting this week at Harborfront, three students who were then in 2011 students at Glendon are now working on the show, and they've gone on to work professionally in theater and so on. That's sort of on the technical side. On the playwright side, well, we always have a workshop or just a discussion with students afterwards.
Okay, let's get into the Bouchard Dance. When did your involvement start with Bouchard Dance? Because I saw L'Implorate. Is it about 2-3 years ago?
2011.
I think in a variated version.
Yeah, that was sort of like the work in progress that you saw.
Mm-hmm.
We've known Sylvie since she was with Corpus.
Okay.
And actually, David Danzon and Sylvie choreographed one of our pieces in 2001. And they're both francophones, so we just sort of know them by hanging out. When I first had the idea to do this piece that was inspired by letters from Camille Claudel to Auguste Rodin, I just sort of naturally thought, we sort of going through all this information and seeing some of Camille Claudel's work, we just thought of Sylvie. There was just something in that whole, in Claudel's sculptural work that reminded us of Sylvie's work as a dancer and the her emotional range that she sort of brings out in her dance work. We thought it would be a nice parallel to make with the emotion that comes into a sculptural piece, and basically try to make that link.
Mm-hmm.
So we, knowing Sylvie, we just sort of asked her to, if she was interested, and she read some of the letters from Camille Claudel, and she was automatically sort of hooked.
Mm-hmm. She's a very expressive dancer.
She is.
A very expressive face, and I remember
yeah.
she really... Now, Rodin, what aspect of Auguste were you using here? What segment of her life? Where are you...
Well, it's
a sculpture, actually.
Well, it's actually... It's based on the letters between Camille Claudel was Rodin's pupil at first. She became his mistress, and there the drama comes, is that... she wanted him to marry her. He promised, he said, he kept saying he would. He never did. And they had this tremendous breakup, at which point Camille started to work on some fairly important pieces in her sculptural work, one of which being L'Âge Mûr, which is a sculpture of an older man seeming to try to pull himself away from a younger woman who's... She's naked and on her knees, pleading him not to leave, and he is leaving her with this older woman. And this is the basic. This is the basis of our work. Visually, is mm-hmm. this sculpture is and the work of Sylvie, mm-hmm. where her character as a choreographer is inspired by the sculpture. She sees the emotional, the tremendous emotional impact of the sculpture, and she is moved by it, and therefore that helps her find her. The choreography she's working on.
And did you have any type of input in the choreography with Sylvie?
La Tangente is myself and Louise Novert, and Louise mostly works with the actors, so as far as the dramatic arc I had more to do with, but the actual work with the actor, the one-on-one, was more Louise Novert and Sylvie. But yeah, because it's the way this is a different, it's not a dance piece traditionally, because it has a dramatic, it tells a story. So even though she's going through some specific choreography, we have to still understand how the character is working her way through this story, this woman who is also going through a breakup.
How are you working with the visuals? Now, that's what I remember vividly, is the use of visuals.
That's also part of our work, and where we're lucky to work at Theatre Glendon is that Theatre Glendon is a very nicely equipped theatre with Duncan Appleton, who's the technical director there, but he's also our technical director. And a lot of the work with L'Implorante, we're working with four cameras who do, we do live capture, and we retransmit live capture on projected images. So we might have a background and then we film Sylvie and we retransmit her image on the background. So we're working that way, but it's quite a complex little piece, though it doesn't seem to be. But mm-hmm. when you go through it, you go, oh boy, we've gone through a whole range of emotions visually and technically.
Mm-hmm. You are listening to Evidence on CIUT 89.FM. We are talking to playwright Claude Guimet, and he's talking about Bouchard Dance and the Théâtre La Tangente,
yep.
I guess, of L'Implorante and L'Eternal Voyage. And we have one pair of tickets to give away Saturday, October 25th, 8 p.m. That's Saturday, October 25th, 8 p.m. at Harborfront Center. And the number to call is 416-946-7000. That's 946-7000. Now, this is a double bill.
It is. We have
Eternal Voyage. What is that?
When we did L'Implorante, we did it in 2011, and we felt that it needed a piece to accompany it for a full evening's, I guess, entertainment. So Sylvie has worked on a brand new piece called L'Eternel Voyage, and it will be a premiere at Harborfront this week. My vocabulary as far as dance is concerned is not that I'm not that proficient. So it's a trio of dancers with Mairead Philgate, Meredith Thompson, and Brendan Wyatt. And it's a story of, again, it's an emotional story of a lost sibling, and how these three, this brother and two sisters, cope with the loss of a loved one.
Mm-hmm. Now, with both productions, do you do with sound design? It sounds like there will rather be intriguing use of sound in these two.
There is in both cases. For for L'Implorante, Claude Nobert, who has worked I've worked with for 27 years now.
Wow.
Has done music for I think most of the plays I've directed and the films that I've done. And for L'Éternel Voyage, it's this. Hold on, I'm at a loss for a second. Phil. I can't find his name. Somebody's going to shoot me.
It's not Philip Strong, is it?
It is Philip Strong.
Oh, God. How did I know that?
Well, good.
He's
for
one of my favorite composers for dance in Toronto.
Because I haven't been involved as much in Sylvie's piece, I just met Phil, so I apologize deeply for having forgotten his name. So, but yeah, I've heard the work and it's fascinating. It's very percussive and it's very bassy kind of work, and very sort of emotional, guttural.
And of course, the lighting design, integrating video and everything in the first piece and the other, is probably using a lot of shadows, darkness, and.
There's a cinema sort of feel to it. Guillaume Way is our lighting designer. He's worked with us for years, but he's also Sylvie's lighting designer on L'Éternel Voyage. So that's where there's a common link in the two shows. So.
Right.
But yeah, it's very shadowy, very dark, very sort of very crisp passages.
Yes.
What kind of surprises can the audience expect?
I think emotionally both shows are very. I think they're very touching. The character that Sylvie plays in L'Implorante, basically she's going through a breakup. When you take all the fancy stuff away, it's just a person being dropped by her boyfriend, and the worst of it, she's being dropped by a text message, which is an interesting contrast between some of the letters from Rodin and Camille, who are with these. Eloquent letters where they spend paragraphs saying relatively little but very eloquently. Nowadays we have I've met somebody, and that's how she learns that her boyfriend has dumped her, basically. So that's the emotion she's going through, and the same thing on the for L'Éternel Voyage. I think the people will be very touched by both pieces.
Gosh, and so in the past you said very little with letter after letter after letter, and now
I say a lot with three words.
You're saying a lot with three words.
Yeah, I think I prefer the.
Because you're a technological.
I think I prefer the eloquence to the. to the brevity.
Okay, and this takes place October the 23rd to 25th, 8 p.m., October 25th, 2 p.m. at Harborfront Center Theater, and I believe that was formerly the N-Wave.
It was long gone.
The website to check the more information out is Bouchard, that's Bouchardanse .com, and theatrelatangente.ca for...
For us, yeah. So count that tangent in one word with tangent with an E.
Yeah. And we have still a pair of tickets to give away for Saturday, October 25th show at 8 p.m. Number to call 416-946-7000. 416-946-7000. You are listening to Evidence on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Become a member of CIUT 89.5 FM and you will be entered into some amazing grand prize draws. You could win a Sony e-reader, a books and tea prize pack, two tickets to the Mervish production of The Heart of Robin Hood, a health and wellness prize pack, a Samsung Galaxy S4 Mini, and more prizes to be announced during the fall membership drive October 20th to the 26th. Donate $25 or more today and you will be entered to win. Make your donations before October 20th and you will also be entered into the early bird prize draw to win a Samsung smart camera. Go to www.ciut.fm to make your donation today. CIUT 89.5 FM, the new sound of your city.
Welcome back to Evidence, CRUT 89.5 FM. I'm Ted Fox.
And I'm Nicole Hamilton.
And here we are back again after Bouchard Dance. We now are looking at Opera Atelier, one of my favorite opera companies, as you'll find out why in a minute. And dancers Tyler Gledhill and Cynthia Smithers. Welcome, both of you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Now, Tyler, you've been in just about every contemporary dance piece I can think of, Malgajata's company and various others. And I see you and always have seen you until recently, till a while back, I guess. Not as a Baroque dancer, because there's quite a contrast in slamming
is, yes.
the stage, kicking ass and doing all that. And now you're Baroque. How did this happen that you switched and, I guess, are doing now both types of dance?
Well, my background is in classical ballet. I went to Canada's National Ballet School here in Toronto, also studying modern dance there as well with Peggy Baker. And I danced in Europe for several years, and I moved back to Toronto about 7 years ago. And my first job was with Opera Atelier. Actually.
So, job, you mean dancing?
Yeah, my first contract
learning
when I moved back as a freelancer. And so, they were the first people to employ me as a dancer when I moved back to Toronto. Then I went into, the ball started rolling and went into more contemporary stuff here, which is what I know and what my career has been in. So, yeah, I've been with Opera Atelier this is my seventh season.
Mm-hmm, great. And Cynthia, you started very young in Baroque, didn't you?
Yes. So when I was in elementary school, I did a summer program with Opera Atelier, and so it was a mixture of dancing and singing and some acting. And I just loved everything that happened. Marshall and Jeanette were so welcoming and supportive. So I started taking ballet classes with Jeanette and.
Jeanette Zhang,
she's one
of the artistic director, founder
yes.
with Marshall.
And choreographer.
Yes.
And so I began taking ballet classes with her, and part of the training was getting us to learn a number of different styles, flamenco, jazz, all sorts of things, but we really focused on ballet and Baroque dancing, which is quite specific and obviously a part of their expertise, Marshall and Jeanette's expertise. And it has just really shaped my life because I've continued on as both a dancer and a singer, and having the understanding of the art form from not only a musical perspective but from a dance perspective has really helped me with everything, and they've just trained me throughout, and so it's been fantastic, and I've loved it.
No. So can either of you start by talking a bit about Baroque dance? How would you describe Baroque dance to the uninitiated? I didn't realize it was going to be.
Like Cynthia said, it's very specific.
Yeah.
So there is a notation for it. For me to start learning it after having danced several years as a contemporary dancer, where there isn't really a language necessarily. That's it's quite free. There's a lot of improv. There's anything goes. Kind of. It was very interesting to have, names for all the steps and specific ways and angles to move and things to do with the arms.
The arms are very strongly tied in with the feet. So if your feet are doing a specific motion, there's a matching arm motion that goes with it. And it requires a lot of coordination, and it's amazing to see ballet dancers who are extremely coordinated and have incredible control over their bodies come in and struggle with the Baroque because it's so specific. And it really requires a lot of control with the legs, I would say, but then quite an elegance and freedom with the arms, perhaps. So it's specific, but it's really good for the brain, for sure.
Definitely.
And Baroque dates back to early 1600s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
ballet.
Right.
Yeah.
The precursor to classical ballet as we know it.
So how, I mean, as now Baroque dancers, Tyler, you started to mention just, you know, the transition of being able to, you know, to kind of move from doing what you do into now doing Baroque. How would you say, for those students who are looking to get into Baroque movement, how would you say that Opera Atelier really has stimulated you to learn more? Tell us a little bit about what students can expect if they were to jump in at Opera Atelier.
I would say it's a big challenge for coordination, just like Cynthia said. Power from the core, composure, I find it really beautiful, and there's a sort of elegance to it that people, I guess, wouldn't expect, especially if they're coming from like a modern dance background. They wouldn't necessarily see it that way. But once you're inside it, you feel like you're dancing in, you know, Louis XIV's court. You know, it's quite special.
And is that due to the fact that even a lot of times the timing is different in terms of, you know, it uses a particular, let's say, 3-4 time, or is the timing, is that what kind of makes it an interesting transition in addition to what you've shared?
Yes, it's very musical. You know, you're constantly counting along with the melody, and it's, yeah.
Well, it really suits the Baroque music. So often when we think of a piece that's in 3-4, such as a waltz, in classical ballet we're always taught to be down, the weight is down on the downbeat on count one. But in Baroque music there's a lift on one. So it's quite the opposite of more 19th, 20th century ballet and dancing. There's the music is lighter as opposed to having a... The downbeat is still strong, but it's lifted. It's not as weighted.
Okay.
So that's something that we really strive for in our dancing, is to feel light and uplifted throughout.
Now, Opera Atelier is known for, I would say, its outrageous, campy approach to opera with extraordinary singing and visuals. Now, it's Halloween coming up, and this plot of this one, A Sorceress and the Souls of Dead Lovers. Can you elaborate a bit on what it's about?
Oh, this one is going to be quite spectacular. They're working with video projections for the first time. So there is a bit of a sort of, you know, contemporary approach to it. Like, we spent a whole day inside a film studio shooting these things that are going to be projected on the screen, and painted sets are going to, you know, transition into projections of video, and it's quite spectacular the way it's happening.
And Alcina is a sorceress, an enchantress who draws men into her world and then captures them and includes them in the mountains. She turns them into clouds, mountains, walls, everything that's around her. That's
when
how she builds
them,
her world.
She captures their soul and then they become part of her world.
Yeah.
So is Marshall then having clouds pass across the stage like usual, with people sitting in them or spirits, etc.?
It's actually a bit different. It's really exciting.
Yeah,
how different? Because they use a lot of...
Well, what I said before, that the set will kind of blur and shift into using the video projections, you will see... the souls of these men inside, trapped inside things like a waterfall or a sand dune, and they're struggling trying to get out.
You may see it as a shape that looks like a mountain to begin with, but then you'll see how the shape of that mountain is based on a human form, human form, and different positions of the human form. So, but the opera, as you were asking, is about two nights. Well, one night and a woman dressed as a man who come to save her fiancé who has been
captured
by Alcina. It's, as with most operas, very complicated plot.
Yeah.
But it's quite thrilling to see the emotional tension throughout, and watch as Ruggiero, the man who's being captured by Alcina, is torn between reality and sorcery and who is really on his side, who's trying to do what is right for him. And
And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Evidence Show on CIUT 89.5 FM. And we're sitting here...
Sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay, Deb. That's okay.
We got a pair of tickets.
We want to make sure
that
our listening audience knows that we've got some tickets to give away. So if you could share that with them, Ted.
Okay. Tuesday, October 28th, 7:30 p.m. 7:30 p.m. is a time to remember, because so many shows are generally 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this is at the Elgin Theater, which is Young and Queen, and the phone number to call for the tickets. And these are good tickets if you have not ever seen Opera Atelier, right, guys? Mm-hmm. It's a treat. It's
a
like a blast. It's more than, it's like being on a drug somehow.
Well, this one's going to be particularly
okay.
spectacular.
It's 416-946-7000. 416-946-7000.
Yes.
And now.
And we're tuning in, still speaking with Tyler Gledhill and Cynthia Smithers. And one of the things that I found really interesting with Alcina is that it originally premiered in London.
Yes. Yeah.
Correct. Mm-hmm. In 1735.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So this is the first time that Opera Atelier is actually taking on a major Frederick Handel piece.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as far as the show is concerned, we know that, first of all, Opera Atelier, the directors of Opera Atelier is both Marshall
Pinkowski
and Jeanette La Jeunesse. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is I'm doing pretty well with this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
La Jeunesse. All right. Now, now, what can the audiences expect with regards to movement? Is there any type of? We know that, of course, it's going to be a large focus on Baroque. But in addition to that, is there, can we see any type of introduction of any other type of movement or discipline?
Absolutely. So in this production, the men and women are quite separate. We don't dance together that often because of the whole separation of what Alcina, I mean, there aren't really any men in her world. It's only her lover, and then when she's done with him, he becomes part of the scenery. Yeah, so it's a world for women. And so all of the women are actually, like, her subjects, and all of the men, there are a few dances that we do together with the women, but then for the rest, the men represent these trapped souls in her world. And so our movement is a little bit more contemporary. Like, there's a lot of rolling on the floor and, you know, arms out of control and movement that comes from the center, from the core. So
less restrained.
Yeah, so it's not as composed as the Baroque style. So it's interesting, and it's a good one. I'd say this production is a good one for people who don't know that much about Baroque, so you get a little bit of a taste of that, but then you also can see something that you might be more used to, like contemporary dance.
Mm-hmm. Is this a show that audiences of all ages could appreciate?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we don't have to put a forewarning for any of our younger audiences?
Well, there isn't any full frontal nudity, but the men, we are made to look like we are nude, but we're not.
Okay.
So you won't see anything. Yeah. I mean, you know. Most you'll see is our butts, but
okay then.
Yeah.
Okay.
But something that's also extremely intriguing about the work that Opera Atelier does is that the singers blend in with the dancers because they're trained. Marshall works with them extensively to make sure that they move like dancers and incorporate the Baroque style of movement. So it's not only just what the female dancers are doing and the male dancers are doing, but the singers express themselves in very natural ways. They're standing in positions that are more human. Instead of being evenly spaced between 2 feet, they sink their weight into one hip and their arms move. It's a bit more stylized than what we do in modern movement, but it's more natural than sometimes what you might see in other operas.
Right.
So it's really nice because there's just an integrated world where all the artists on stage are speaking in the same language, even though we're dancers and singers, we all have overlap. So.
And what is the length of the piece?
Probably 2.5.
With
two and a half.
Yeah, it's including intermission. It's 2.5 to two and a quarter,
two and three quarters.
That's normal.
Yeah.
Okay, I think both tickets have gone, right? Yeah, both pairs.
All right.
Wow.
So yes,
amazing.
Somebody's in for a good show here. It sounds like. Okay, and let's sum up. Alcina, October 23rd, November 1st. At the Elgin Theater. Now, this is in concessive dates, by the way, so go on their website, operaatelier.com, for the exact dates, and it fluctuates a bit.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, some days are missing.
A couple of different times.
There are six shows in total.
She's not responsible.
She's done with those days.
She's done with those days. Hey, get
them out of here. Just captured their
soul. Yeah, and it's at the Elgin Theater, and we all know where that is, at least we should, and the Queen, and on Young, just north of Queen.
That's right.
And I'd like to thank you, Tyler. Cynthia, for coming on Evidence.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Which is on 89.5 FM.
I miss my friends. I miss them all. I wanna know what they're doing now. I'm gonna give them a call. It was the summer of love, and now it's turning to fall. It feels like I've been away so long. I'm gonna give them a call. You look around, but you don't.
Hi, welcome back to Evidence here on CIUT 89.5 FM. And just at this point, you may hear loud percussive sounds. There seems to be a big frosh event or something happening here, and they're bypassing the station now, and it's going to be really noisy, probably.
It's never a dull moment
at
Evidence.
Yeah, never a dull moment. And never a dull moment that we have to apologize that Shane Belcour hasn't come to the studio. Who knows? It's maybe he got caught up in this. And we were going to talk about his film, Kwakahi, The Cycle of Life, which documents Santee Smith's interpretation of traditional Iroquois legends using contemporary dance and her newest production, Neo Indigena. That's a nice name for a company, actually. And the screening of this film will be taken at the Lightbox, the TIFF Bell Lightbox, October 23rd. That's a Thursday. As part of the 15th annual Imagine Native Film and Media Arts Festival. And this film will be a world premiere. And the festival is, I think it's one of the biggest in North America. And it represents distinctive works from all the world's indigenous nations. And in this film, you saw it, right?
I did.
How would you describe it? It's sort of like the link with women as a community, the culture, the inheritance of culture. How would you describe it?
Colorful, definitely. Exotic. I enjoyed the creativity of the movement and the mixture of the art, the artistic painting, and it was absolutely beautiful. I think this is going to be a great piece.
Yeah, from what I saw part of it. It was very interesting to show her in the studio choreographing and how she worked.
Right.
And I don't remember the name of the performer.
It's featuring Santee Smith.
Yeah, but the other one, the male that was in the studio. And it has interviews with her parents.
Right.
And it's filmed, I think, in a set studio area plus outside, I believe, when I was reading it. And Sean would have been very interesting as well on that show. So, again, that takes place at Bell Lightbox Thursday, October 23rd. And just go on kahawidance.org. That's kahawidance.org.
Yes. And so it's going to be a busy season. There are so many great productions that are coming up. Mm-hmm. I know that Toronto Dance Theatre has Triple Bill coming up November 4th to the 8th. Mm-hmm. At 8 p.m., that's showing at the Fleck Dance Theater in the Harbourfront Center. And as I mentioned, it's a triple bill. Part of the triple bill is going to include Pond Skaters with the Brussels-based Swiss choreographer Thomas Hort. Mm-hmm. And also Early Departures. And that one was actually first performed in 1991. That one was choreographed by Christopher House, mm-hmm. TDT's artistic director. And lastly, within that triple bill, Martingales, which is a new work with the TDT dancers in collaboration with the lining designer, Mrs. Simon Rosseter. That piece is also part of the triple bill. So it's going to be packed full of exciting movement. So again, that's going to be showing at Harbourfront on November the 4th right through to the 8th.
And currently, Sebastian Hines and Catherine Hernandez.
That's right.
We had on last week, and boy.
Yes, Brotherhood.
That looks like a very interesting show, and that's at Buddy's. I don't have the information here.
Yes.
Because I didn't expect to be talking about these.
Right, and that one is currently on now.
Yeah. And also, Story Talk, that's a new series where Duo, that's the Dance Umbrella of Ontario, invites established artists to share their own personal stories about the development of their careers in the performing arts industry. And it's 1 hour live discussion followed by a Q&A, and it's free. And it will feature Claudia Moore and Mariano Abarca on Thursday, October 23rd at 4:30 p.m. And I actually don't have the information here on it as to where to go to find out more information, but I just knew this was on. So if you just put Claudia Moore Story Talk Duo on Google, where else do you look for things? You should find it. And It'll be very interesting because it showed, this is going to talk about how to become an established dance artist in Toronto and the options that exist to make you have a viable, financial, stably career.
Yeah.
And how to get your first grant and all that is covered. So
that's right.
I think pretty damn good.
It's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
And if you are just tuning in, you're listening to us on The Evidence Show on CIUT 89.5 FM.
And we want
to talk to our listening audience about...
Fundraising. Where else?
Fundraising.
Yeah. Now, we've had a lot of exciting guests lately. I feel our show has morphed a bit in the sense we're getting a lot of dance workshops on. We're doing a lot of physical fitness and exercise classes taught by dancers. We're getting things like an osteopath who's also a fire dancer. I still never forget that one. And music therapy we had on.
Miriam Schachter in the past.
Response, which, of course, fits in with all the physical dance therapists we've had on in the past. So it's exploring all these different interrelationships, I guess, with fitness, dance, political issues, transgender dance, cultural dance, of all from every conceivable area.
Right. And, you know, what's fantastic about the guests that we have on the show is, like you've mentioned, Ted, there's just such a diversity. And they're coming from all different areas and disciplines of movement. Up and coming, we have some, you know, artists that are coming from pretty much all across the world. I think since Evidence has been on, we've seen artists from Canada straight through to Russia,
we've had Britain,
Germany,
we have Germany on, we've had Australia at some point. We've had, we have them from all over the world.
Yes.
And we also have actors who are also dancers, choreographers. There's many of those in the community, and we'll be hopefully getting that with Theatre Rustico comes on in the near future. We also have children talking about dance, and I look forward also to the Pia Bauman Nutcracker when the kids come, 10 years and under, come in and talk about being mice and performing the annual Nutcracker, which grandparents and parents who used to be mice are all on this. I love that. And Elizabeth Dawn Snelling, who was a former co-host, will be on early November talking about a cabaret. They're doing the annual one, pre-Christmas sort of thing. And children will be on for that, too. So, I look forward to all this variety we have. And also have things about stereotypes and dance. I remember women in dance, male in dance. There's problems in and out, who dominates what in the scheme of things, who becomes head of dance companies. All this has been addressed.
Right.
So it's quite fun, actually, doing all these exciting and meeting new guests. And I hope it is for all you listeners out there, being fun and informative.
Definitely. And, you know, I think we should also talk about our membership drive.
Yes, that's why we're here. Now, what is... Okay, the membership drive. So... Twice a year, we have to have a membership drive. CIUT obviously needs money to continue operating the station and continuing to deliver its fine programs that it has, including talking word shows, which in some ways are neglected in the media. Without, they don't go in a lot of the cases to enough depth. They don't really, I call it prime time top coverage or the in-depth coverage like we do, for instance, on Evidence. And to do that, you should have to donate and in advance. It's very good that you do that in advance. In case you can't listen live next week, that's the 25th, October, between 2 and 3. But we want as many of you possible to donate live at that time. But if you can donate online, go to ciut.fm. There's a form you fill out, making sure that you notate the show as being your favorite show on CIUT as Evidence.
That's right.
To make sure the funding comes to us by the station, comes through us. And that way you'll continue our fine coverage as well as all of CUT's programming.
Right. Let's keep CIUT on the air and let's keep Evidence on the air. And it only takes a moment, folks, to donate. You know, that's the server by going to CIUT.fm. It's secure. Individuals can donate by paying via credit card or PayPal. And in fact, you don't even need to have a PayPal account in order to use the service. But as Ted mentioned, make sure to name your favorite show as being the Evidence show. And all donations of $25 or more will receive a tax receipt.
And, of course, $25 is the minimum donation to become a member. And it's charitable. So, hey, go for it.
That's right.
Yeah. It's not much to pay to continue. I think coverage like this on the air, and it is on CIUT podcast. It is on our website, evidenceradio.com podcast. And immediately after the show, just go to CIUT.fm and listen. Or a few days later, just go to on Evidence Radio. And you'll be surprised by flipping through all the exciting guests we've had on in the past. So if you've never heard of us, check that website and see, and you'll know why you've got to donate.
Right, and our podcasts on the website are dating back to, 2009. So there's a lot of great footage for our listening audience to be able to listen to.
Exactly, exactly. And I'd like to thank Oren for teching today. And we have been listening to Evidence on CIUT 89.5 FM.